verse 13. And he goeth up into the mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. They came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal. And to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon, he's surnamed Peter. James, the son of Zebedee. John, the brother of James. And he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into a house. I want to pick up the last name of this who's who in the gospel. And I simply want to use for a subject tonight, Judas. Everybody say Judas.
Judas.
The biography of a man. Judas. Let me ask you a question. Could it be that Judas is in this audience tonight? Judas, if you're here, we want you to identify yourself before this service is over. Let me talk to you about the name Judas. What's wrong with the name? What is the reason that the name is never used? The 11 other names that I read to you have been duplicated many times over. Children born in this audience tonight, there is a James. There is a John. There is a Matthew. There's probably a Mark. I've done a little research in names, what they mean, and what names stand for. And in studying the lyrics of a name, the writing, the way that it's written, the romance of the handwriting of a name. Some names are not very beautiful to write because they seem to be so plain and they don't contain some of the romantic letters of a name. But when you look at the letter J and you see the rhythm of that letter, and it swings over into the U, and then the drama of the D, and the beauty of an A, and then the romance of an S. There's nothing wrong with the writing of the name Judas. I remember when our boys were born, especially the last one. We had three boys. When Gary was born, I would come in. Sister Foss would be, before he was born, she would be lying in the bed or seated in a lounge chair or at the couch or wherever. She had a book about an inch thick. And it was nothing but names. Looking for a name. I wouldn't have been surprised, being a preacher, if she would have wanted to call our boy John, because he was one of the disciples. It would not have startled me if she would have called Gary Matthew, because he was a prominent man in the word of the Lord. My oldest boy is named David. And I wouldn't have thought anything if she would have wanted to call him Mark. I have a nephew by the name of Mark. And I know a lot of men, some in my church, who handle the name Mark. This would not have startled me. But if I would have come in and she would have told me, "I am thinking about calling this baby, if it's a boy, Judas," I am certain there would have been a reaction to me. Not because the way it looked, not because of the way it sounded, but simply because it was Judas. Judas. You say, "Well, Brother Foss, it's what he was." No, you can't really censure him for what he was. When you think about the name Judas, you think about deception. And I don't suppose there's any tool that the devil uses today any more than he uses the tool of deception. If for no other reason, that one word is the reason I would not want to own a television in my home. Now, I'm not here to preach against that. I'm just going to tell you something here. Christian radio has become a prime tool of deception. There has never been anything that's come across the stage of the Pentecostal ranks that has deceived as many as the messages that's preached on television. We have been rocked by the scandals of the evangelical world, of the television ministry. And I met a man the other day that he shocked me. He really shocked me. He asked me, he said, "Brother Foss, did you see such and such on the radio, on the television?" I said, "No, sir, I really didn't." He said, "Well, you should have seen it." He said, "You know, I hear you preach quite a bit, and I come to the church every once in a while." And I said, "Yeah, I'm aware of that." He said, "I wrote PTL a letter." I said, "You did?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I told them that they didn't need Jerry Falwell, that we had the man in Houston they need." And he said, "I told them who you were." Yes, it shocked me. I'm serious with you. But how many have looked and they've been deceived about what they saw? And just enough truth to deceive and lead them astray. In the midst of everything, you'd say, "Well, Brother Foss, surely people have learned their lesson," but by the millions tonight, they are still under the cloak of deception. Deceiving. Oh, if there's anything that I cannot stand, it's hypocrisy. Keep your seatbelts fastened. We're not at our cruising altitude yet. We'll be there in a little bit. Deception. As long as I am deceived by something else or somebody, there is hope for me. But when God deception to come, there is no hope. Because he's turned you over to a strong delusion that you would believe a lie and be damned. And this is the reason that I feel that I need to preach to you what I'm preaching to you tonight. Because it is absolutely a dangerous thing not to be true with the Spirit of the Lord. Play games with me, play games with your pastor, but you don't play games with God. You cannot fool him. And if God speaks to you one time and you don't listen, he does not have an obligation to ever speak to you again. Not one more time does he ever have to speak to you again. That's the reason that you need to understand tonight that don't keep playing with God and telling God that I want it this way, I want it like this, or I want it like that. Because if God ever changes his mind and says that, all right, go ahead, there's no hope for you. No hope. You see, when we talk about this man, what is there about him? Let's look at him. The very same thing that happened to John, to James, to Peter. When the Lord walked by and touched them and said, follow me, and Peter felt something go through him to the point that he took his hands out of the net. Let him go, and he looked. And he looked at John. John was feeling something. And Peter said, John, I'm going. I don't know what there is about this man, but when he touched me and said, come, go with me, there's something within me that made me want to go. I want to follow him. I'm going to leave these nets. The same thing that touched Peter, James, and John was what Judas felt when Jesus Christ walked by him and said, Judas, come go with me. So you can't censure him. He was called. He was called. Not only was he called, he was ordained. It was in this scripture reading that he cataloged those first men that was in the first ordination service. And when he sent them out, he sent them to preach, and he gave them power. Come on, everybody say power. Oh, dear God, if we could come to a point that our relationship with Jesus Christ was strong enough that he would give us the same power that he put into the hands of those disciples. He said, I will give you power to heal sicknesses. Oh, Brother Foss, we have that power. Occasionally, we had it. He gave them power to heal. You know, I really believe what this book said. Not only did he give them power to heal, I believe that Judas Iscariot had the power to walk out there and look at a man that's sick with a palsy and say, be thou healed. And there was no guesswork. He was healed on the spot. Not Peter, not James, not John, Judas. Power to heal sicknesses. He could speak to the leper and say, be thou clean, just like Peter and John. He had the same kind of power. But that wasn't all. He had power over the devil. He could walk up to a man that was devil possessed, lay hands on him, and say, come out.
thing that we as Pentecostals need. We need to have the power to walk up to a devil-possessed person and take charge of that demon and talk to it in the name of the Lord and tell it, come out! I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, let it go!
The kind of power that Judas had is awesome. 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 I can't exaggerate that power enough. We see a few miracles. I have probably 8, maybe 10 in my church that's been healed of cancer. But oh, how many have I prayed for that wasn't healed? How many drug addicts has come to an altar that needed deliverance and I laid hands on them? They went away just like they come. You say, oh, Brother Frost, you shouldn't be telling us that. You would say the same thing if you tell the truth. Oh, I have some that I've laid hands on that God healed and God sobered up, instantly filled them with the Holy Ghost. The other night, one came to the church, came after money. But we was all in the prayer meeting, prayer room before church on Thursday night. He come back to go in my office. The door was locked. All he could do was stand there by that brick wall. One of my men walked up to him. Brother, just talk to the Lord. That's not what he had in mind. And he stood there and prayed with him. Brother Burton stayed there and talked to the Lord with him. But long the tears started running down his face. I watched the man as he stood there. He doubled up his fist. My God! What has these people got? I've never come in touch with this! After about 20 minutes, you know, service was supposed to start. Auditorium full, music playing. I was in the back. Brother David Foss in the back. Most of the people were back there praying. There he was on his face, laying in the carpet, weeping his way to God. It wasn't long that God baptized him with the Holy Ghost. But oh, dear God, man, what happened to the man that came, that went away without it? What happened to the man that we didn't pray through? Brother Huntley would know him. I was called a few days ago. Brother Boss, come to the hospital quick. I got there and I went looking for Bubba. They said he's in the hospital. It's bad. He's been shot. When I walked in, the nurse knew me. I said, I'm looking for Bubba. She said, come quick, Brother Foss. I went into the room where they had him in the trauma center in time to see the scalpel reach into his chest. I watched them go through the breastbone, open up the heart. No anesthetic, no nothing. They're laid. They was trying to suture the arteries to the heart. A man got out of the stop sign, got out of his car, walked back to where he was, and shot him, and shot the top of his heart off. I stood and talked to him just a few days before. Bubba, you need to come back to church. You need to come to God. You need to quit this foolishness. I know, Brother Foss. I know, I know. Hey, don't fault this man I'm preaching to you about. He had power that was given to him from the very authority of the Word of God. God himself said, I'm going to give it to you. Tough for me to walk out of that room knowing that Bubba was dead, knowing that I had prayed for him. Walk into a room where there was 5 kids and a wife seated there. Both wife and husband backslid out of the church. One time assistant youth director, always friendly to the church, friendly to me, but somehow I couldn't get the power to say, turn him loose! And friend, I have wallowed in my bed at night. I prayed God somewhere. I want to get in touch ordained. Never will forget, Brother Yance. You've done it so many times. They knelt me down and the presbyter came, put their hands on my head. Then I stood and they gave me the charge. I will never forget that. Judas knew what that was. He experienced it the same way. You say, well, Brother Foster, what are you painting to us? Simply a picture of a man that was sent of God. A man that knew God. A man that knew something about God. Woman, why do you feel the way you feel about the name? He wasn't a murderer. No, he wasn't a murderer. I saw a little boy the other day, and one of our preacher's grandsons, I said, what's his name? He said, Casey. I said, oh, Casey Jones. Yeah, that's where we got it. Nothing wrong with that. But who's Casey Jones? Up against Judas says, Kerry. Hey, come on, I'm talking to you. What's wrong? He wasn't a murderer. He didn't kill. But if he did, you've seen so much violence. So many things happen that murder doesn't bother you. If you have a television in your home and you've had it all of your children's lives, by the time your boy is 12 years old, he's seen 25,000 murders. You're dealing with a society that you don't just pick up and move around with words anymore. Hey, I've preached where I couldn't keep people out of the altar. But I can take you through a journey in hell tonight. And it doesn't bother you anymore. Because you have been deceived. A man sent of God. He wasn't a drunkard. You don't mind people getting drunk. You say, oh, Brother Foster, yes, I do. America doesn't mind it. 360,000 died last year as a direct result of alcohol. Vietnam, 10 years, 55,000 died. Last year, 55,000 died on our highways. And intoxicating drink was the reason. Not to say everything else that he'd done. 360,000. He wasn't a drunkard. That never bothered him. You don't find one place where Judas ever even drank anything that they talked about him for drinking. He wasn't an adulterer. But if he was, would it matter to you? What are you saying, Brother Foss? 85% of the second-year college kids in my town that are not married or cohabitating. We used to not have a problem with marriage and divorce in the Pentecostal church. But you can't say that anymore. If you have revival by virtue that you're praying people through, you got a problem. Oh, you would censor me for some of the things I've done. But that doesn't matter. Pray a man through that's living with a woman. I prayed one man through that's living with his wife, been with her 5 years, got 3 children. Her first husband is in the penitentiary, been on death row, can't get out. She can't get a divorce. They're living together. They came in and got the Holy Ghost. What are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with them, apostolics? But what did you do? Wouldn't you like to know? But I'm not afraid to tell you
You really want to know? After about 4 weeks, they came into my office crying. Tim said, "Brother Voss, I found what my heart desired, but I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm living with my wife and we're not married, and here's my kids, and what is there for us?"
My wife has done everything to get a divorce. What are we going to do? According to law, they're already married. But on the premise that Tim and Teresa, soon as the divorce is possible, that they will follow through with it, I took them in my office, and without any fanfare, I told them, upon the authority that's invested in me by the state of Texas, as a minister of the gospel, I pronounce you man and wife. When you get your marriage license, I'll date them and fill them out and send them in. Ooh, Brother Foss, I wouldn't do that. Who am I to argue with what God put under the blood at an altar? I was there when they received the Holy Ghost. I know what I felt when they come through. Judas wasn't an adulterer. You wouldn't think anything about it if he was. Because there's so much of that in this society right now. What was wrong with him? The thing that really startles you tonight when you look at Judas, he became a deceiver. That deception. How did it happen? Was there a blasting of a trumpet? Was there something great that happened to him? No, no, friend. Study your book. The only thing he'd done was murmured. Murmured. He complained. The Lord sought to kill Israel. Not because of idolatry, but because they murmured. They murmur. God, help us to get a hold of ourselves. It's dangerous. It's not big things we're fighting, Brother Young. It's little things. Judas, keep your mouth shut. When he saw a woman come to the Lord, she brought an alabaster box. And bringing that box, it was everything she had. She didn't have anything else. That's all. And she brought it. And she broke it on his head. Judas saw it. And he said, "That's a waste of money. Why do you let it happen?" When he done that, a spirit came into his heart. And from that day on, nothing touched him. Not even after the breaking of the box, he walked out to a tomb and saw him raise the dead. The Lord looked at him, "Judas, you got the poor with you always. She's anointed me for what's coming. But you'll never find him in the mainstream again. Judas, you allow something to happen to you." Am I preaching to somebody tonight that's on the verge of stepping over a line? That you won't ever remain the same again? That God will not be able to reach, to touch, to caress your soul? You will simply slip off into oblivion. Alone, without God. Judas, if you're here, you better pray that this preacher gets a hold of your heart. Satan doesn't want to be left alone. He doesn't want to live in space. He wants to live in something alive.
He went into the swine in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. The spirit of envy came into Judas. The spirit of strife. The spirit of hatred. The spirit of rebellion. And so on. Came into the heart of that man that had so much. Brother Foster, can't really be. Let me go off on a little side road here for a minute. Will you give me about 5 minutes extra? I came home when I was a young man. This man right here reminds me so much of this preacher. About his size. Just about his build. And oh, but he was a preacher. Brother Yance, I remember him walking the altar in our church. I never heard such a preacher on water baptism in Jesus' name and the oneness of God. It seemed like an ever-living fountain. It flowed no matter where he started in the Word. He ended up on that message. Nights and days he stayed in our home. He preached for my dad day after day. Leave and come back weeks and weeks at a time. He and my dad were on first name basis. Not many men called my dad Oliver. But when Albert came, he called him Oliver. I was at home. The side, friend. He said, Oliver, I'm here and I'll be here for several days, and tomorrow I'd like to come out and visit with you and Jewel. And Daddy said, fine, come on, come on. I was just a bystander. And I sit down there in the living room and I sit down in the chair. And I remembered him preaching. I knew the group that he was with. And I knew they didn't believe the message and not what we stand for. And Albert came in and sat down and talked and laughed. And he said, oh, Oliver, we're having such a move of God. Said, you know, I still preach just like I always preached. And I watched my dad take the glasses off of his face. And he said, no, Albert, you're not preaching like you preached for me. When you walked my altars, you stayed in my home, you slept in our beds months at a time. You're not preaching that. Said, if you was, they'd close down the meeting on you. You're not preaching the way you preach to me. I watched the countenance of the man change. He sat there. I watched tears flow down his face. He said, Oliver, what's happened to me? He said, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. He said, I have searched for 4 or 5 days for what I used to preach, but I can't find it in that book anymore. Hey, Judas, if you're here, I'm talking to you tonight. You can be deceived by yourself, but don't let God take it away from you. Don't let God blind your heart. There's no remedy for that. No remedy. Down, down, down. Albert left weeping. He got in the car. Oliver praying. But today he's in a grave. Not one apostolic at the funeral. Not one thing was said about truth. Where are we? What's happening? I don't know why I came to New York to preach this, but I feel that I need to preach this to you tonight. Somebody, the devil's playing a game with you in your mind. Be careful. Be careful. Let me go on. The road down, it seems to get steeper as you go. Judas could choose to walk with him, or he could choose to betray him. He knew where Jesus was. And friend, when you start away from us, it won't matter to you how many of us you hurt. It won't matter how deep it cuts. It won't matter what it does to the kingdom. It won't matter, because Judas could either walk with him or he could walk away from him. He could have done anything. You don't have to do what you're doing, Judas. Even as he went to the chief priests and the elders, and he made his proposition, I know where he is. I will betray him. Give me a certain amount of money. They gave him 30 pieces of silver. Friend, with that already made, here's the thing that hurts. Judas went to the Last Supper. He sat there as though everything was all right. He sat there like everything was going to be okay. Nobody knew it but him. Nobody could say anything. But friend, God knows. God knows. Here's what disturbed me. As I studied it, and I looked at it this week so much. Judas, you're sitting at the table. You're breaking bread with him. And he said, this night, somebody is going to betray me. Peter said, is it me? John said, is it me? About that time, Judas reached over, put his hand in the dish. When he did, the Lord put his in the dish. And the Lord said, he it is that suffereth with me in the dish. What is he saying? What is he saying? The fellowship, Judas, that you've got with him. It's so close, you've even got your hand in the dish with him. Judas, could it be that you danced in the Spirit tonight? When the power of God begins to fall, you put your hand over in the dish? Don't miscalculate getting caught up in a service and in the power of God if you've got your hand in the dish, Judas. Be careful. The least he could have done, my God, Judas, get your hand out of the dish. While some of you hold the bread in your hand with the wine dripping from your fingertips, could it be that you're contemplating doing what Judas has done? I beg of you, don't put your hand in the dish, because if you destroy that fellowship, there is no way that Brother Foss can do anything for you. Brother Yachts can't do anything for you. Brother Huntley can't do anything. Your pastor can't do anything. I'm pleading with you tonight. Rip back your heart. Rip open your soul and tell God, here I am, Lord. Let something happen to me. I can't think of anything harder. I don't know that I would be up to it, but our district boards have to sit in session and tell a Judas, Give us your license. Severing the connection of a man with God. Judas. Judas, if you're here, please hear me tonight. Don't go to the dish with him. Because once you reach the dish, the next thing that'll happen to you is you'll kiss him. You'll act like his friend. But after the friendship comes the noose. After he kissed him, he run down a street. Found a rope and a limb. When he done that, he put that rope around his neck. Judas, what are you doing? I can't stand what's going on. I went back to the chief priest. I throw the money at their feet. I've done what Albert Davis done. I looked for it, but I couldn't find it. I sought a place of repentance, and I sought it carefully with tears, but I couldn't get to it. There was no way that I could break back into his presence. Friend, if you feel anything about God tonight, that's the greatest luxury that you've ever had, is to know that he still talks to me, that he still cares, that he still touches my heart. And may, if you feel anything, don't walk away from what you're feeling. You see, it's so beautiful. He'll look beyond your faults and take care of your needs. If you will let him, but you're the one that's got to open the heart and give him the chance. Judas, whoever you are, I'm preaching to you tonight. I'm preaching. Don't kiss him and say, friend. Judas jumped from that limb. That rope broke his neck. Bible said his bowels gushed out in the street. What are you saying, Brother Foss? That's a testimony of a man that was deceived. Has the devil touched you tonight? Have you been deceived? Have you been living a double life? Have you really been what you're supposed to be? Did God send this preacher from Texas to talk to you about yourself? Judas, if you're here, please, don't make the mistake, because the next thing is eternal separation.
If this message has been a blessing to you today, please pass it along to someone else or simply tell them about PreachItAudio.com.